President Biden is set to give a rare primetime address from the Oval Office tonight, updating the American people following his 31-hour dash to Tel Aviv. His speech is another high-stakes mission to convince Congress to give billions in aid to Israel and Ukraine. NPR senior White House correspondent Tamara Keith traveled with the president on what was a turbulent trip.
On the way home from Israel, Air Force One stopped for fuel, and President Biden reached a breakthrough.
I wanted to bring you up to date. I just got off the phone with...
He had spoken with Egypt's President El-Sisi, securing an agreement and a rough timeline to get desperately needed food, water, and medicine into Gaza.
Up to 20 trucks. This has been a very blunt negotiation I've had.
It's a start, and a lot could still go wrong. Roads need to be fixed, and trucks might not roll until Friday, Biden said.
Look, I came to get something done. I got it done.
24 hours into a trip that hadn't gone according to plan, Biden changed from his dark suit into a light blue casual sweater. He had news that wouldn't wait until he was back in Washington.
Not many people thought we could get this done. And not many people want to be associated with failure.
Failure seemed like a very real possibility Tuesday afternoon. In fact, Biden said his team debated at length whether this risky trip would weigh on his presidency. Hours before he was set to depart, a deadly explosion at a hospital in Gaza killed hundreds of people and sparked anger across the Middle East. Biden's trip was in doubt.
President Biden's motorcade is pulling up here to Air Force One on the tarmac at Joint Base Andrews. And at this moment, there are a lot of questions about where President Biden is actually going to be going.
Then, just as the plane was about to take off, a White House official appeared in the press cabin announcing that a stop in Jordan to meet with Arab leaders was off because of the explosion at the hospital. The Palestinians blamed Israel for the blast, and Israel said it absolutely wasn't them. Biden told his staff to find out more. By the time he landed in Israel, protests had broken out around the Arab world. There was no red carpet. This was a time of war. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was at the bottom of the stairs waiting for Biden. And the president went in for a hug. They drove to downtown Tel Aviv and met in a hotel ballroom fortified to do double duty as a bunker. There, Biden said he agreed with the Israeli assessment of the source of the blast.
Based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you.
Biden had seen U.S. military intelligence convincing him a Palestinian militant group had misfired a rocket. He would later deliver some tough love to Netanyahu and his war cabinet. Still, the prime minister praised Biden for the message his presence sent to the world.
Your visit here is the first visit of an American president in Israel at a time of war. It is deeply, deeply moving.
Biden met with family members of victims, survivors, and first responders who described the brutal violence of the October 7th attacks. The pain, the rage, Biden said, is justified. What happened in Israel, he said, was equivalent to 15 September 11th attacks.
But I caution this: while you feel that rage, don't be consumed by it. After 9/11, we were enraged in the United States. While we sought justice and got justice, we also made mistakes.
Innocent Palestinians are suffering too, he said. The rules of war must be followed, even as Israel aims to destroy the group that wreaks so much terror, Hamas. Now back at home, Biden will make a case to the American people that it is in their interest to stand with Israel through what could be a long and painful war. Tamara Keith, NPR News.